want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in some of the first few verses here. And we're going to be talking about what it is to be baptized into Christ. Now, let me read a few verses, and then I want to draw a little something on the whiteboard here today. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Now, Paul is talking by the Holy Spirit. When I say Paul is talking, Paul is writing. We know it's not just Paul's carnal, natural thoughts. He's speaking, of course, of the natural history of the people of Israel. That when they came out of Egypt, he said that they all came through the sea and under the cloud. Okay, now we understand what we're talking about here, don't we? When they went down through the Red Sea, they went under the level of the sea, because there was a path made in the sea. Now, I have no idea how deep it is there. It could be 100 feet deep. I don't know how high these walls were. One time I saw a sea topography. You know what I mean by a topographical map of the sea? And the Red Sea itself is quite deep. But the topography that I saw, and I have to believe it's right, I have no way of proving or disproving it, but that there was, at the point of their crossing, whereas the, here, I'll kind of draw, how do I make this? All right, so here's the Red Sea as you're looking at it this way, okay? But as you're looking at it lengthwise, okay, it would be the same depth, but here at the point of their crossing, the bottom of the sea came like this. So they were able to go right across at a much different level. And isn't it in the Word of God it says that He makes the paths in the sea? Mm-hmm. I forget just where it is. Maybe you remember exactly where it is. Is it Isaiah that said that? Or was it David that said that in Psalms? Anyway, what this amounted to is that they essentially were baptized. Okay? Now, the word baptized means to be immersed. Okay? Baptism does not mean that you have water poured all over you. That's a good start, but that's not really the definition of the word baptism. It doesn't mean that you have water sprinkled on you. It doesn't mean that you have a little fingerful spritzed at you. That's not baptism, okay? And baptism, of course, is believer's baptism. It's one of these unrighteous doctrines that got into the church somehow. As near as I can tell, it was coming into the church within the first 400 years that you could be saved by being baptized. And so people would bring their children and say, "Well, I want to make sure my children are saved." And so they'd get the priest to do something. And now they're saved, they can do anything they want. No, that's not the way it is. That's a bad doctrine of baptism. But he says, so we should not be ignorant how our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So this was not the baptism of Jesus Christ, was it? It was a different baptism. It was a baptism by an experience that they had. In other words, the whole camp of the children of Israel all went through the same thing. Amen. They all went through the same experience. They all went through the same tribulation. They all went through the same hardship. They all went through the same drought. They all went through the same need for food, in other words, and they all experienced the same mercies of God together as a group of people. Okay? So, but he says that they were baptized unto Moses. So the baptism that they had, now we're starting with the old, and we're going to work our way up to the new. The old baptism was unto Moses. And the baptism of Moses was what? What did Moses bring to the people of God? Moses brought the law to them, okay? So they were baptized unto the law, and not necessarily to the person of Moses, because Moses himself is not a savior. But they were baptized into, and they would use this term, into Moses. Jesus said one time that, he says, how did he say to the Pharisees, you have the seed of Moses or something like that? He wasn't saying that they were equal to Moses, but he was saying that you're celebrating these laws in a legalistic way. You think you're in the seed of Moses, but he said you're really violating the true purpose of God. All right. So he said that they all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All right. So they were in this experience. They were all immersed in this experience. Now we're going to be talking about being immersed in baptism, but not just the baptism of water here. Amen? And we're not doing a baptism today, by the way. That's not the purpose. I really want to talk about being baptized into Christ. That's where we're going. All right. So it says, and all did eat the same spiritual meat. Now, it said they ate spiritual meat. Did you notice that he said that? He said, well, Brother Mark, I thought they all ate the same food, period, didn't they? Yes, they all had manna, they all had quail. Amen. They all drank from the same water. All right. Oh, yes, it says here, and they did all drink from the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
Amen.
Now, you see, Paul is taking the natural thing here and he's spiritualizing it. Am I okay to say that?
Amen.
I've heard people say, Brother Mark, why do you go and spiritualize everything? Why can't you just leave it the way it is? Well, why did Paul do it? Why did Jesus do it? Because the Bible is a spiritual book.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot understand the Word of God until you can understand the spiritual meaning behind it. Otherwise, all you're going to see is a sower went out and planted his garden. And that's about it. He either had good soil or he didn't have good soil. Either the birds were coming or the birds weren't coming. No, that we got to get beyond that level. Amen. Because there's a spiritual meaning to it. All right, so they all drank of the same spiritual drink, and they all ate the same spiritual meat. So there was something of the Spirit that God was trying to teach them. That rock that followed them, yes, they drank and they quenched their natural thirst. But that isn't the only thing that was happening to them. He says that rock was Christ. And therefore, they were drinking spiritually, they were partaking of Christ. Whether they liked it or not, they were partaking of a spiritual substance of Christ. And by the way, we need to be careful where we drink.
That's right.
We need to be careful of the spiritual food that we drink.
Amen. That's true.
Hello?
Amen.
Do you know that the testing of the Gideon 300 was tested on the basis of how they drank?
That's right. Yep.
No, God wasn't interested in whether they lapped water or whether they... No, that wasn't the point. The point is it revealed something spiritual about that 300, that they were going to be the overcomers. You know, 300, the number 300 means the number of overcomers. It's a good number, isn't it? So let me go on to Matthew now. Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to bring it up to date with another kind of baptism. Now, John the Baptist came on the scene and he was baptizing people. And he told them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand.
Amen.
Amen. And then when they came, Pharisees came and wanted to be baptized, he said, "Why are you here?" He said, "I want to see fruit." Verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Some proof. Give me some evidence that there has been repentance in your life by a change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You see, brethren, you don't just come into Jesus by salvation and not have your life changed. You're going to have to live different than you lived before. Differently. Proper English here. And then in verse 11, John said, this is chapter 3 of Matthew, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." In other words, I'm just putting you in the water. I'm putting you in the water because you have repented. You have said that you're going to give up your old lifestyle. You're going to not walk in that manner anymore. You're not going to participate in the things that you did. You're not going to talk the way you talked. You're not going to think the way you used to think.
Right.
Amen. How many of you believe that we can think different?
Yes. Amen.
In Christ?
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to carry on with the same thoughts. "Well, the devil gives me these thoughts." Throw them out. Yes. You can't stop the bird from flying over you, but you don't have to let him build a nest in your hair. Amen. Yeah, he's saying, "What hair?" Pretty soon I'll be saying that too.
Yes.
Amen. "I indeed baptize you, brother, unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." You know, I was reading about some of these saints that lived 1,000 years ago. It was in the 900s. And there was a group of saints. I forget the name. It had a funny name that people gave them. They didn't give themselves these names. It was a name that other people had given them, something to do with Paul, the Paulists or something. And one of the comments that I read about them was that they were strictly against this infant baptism. Their baptism was only upon repentance. And not only that, but they said they believed that it was important who baptized them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I think that this is what John is saying here too. John acknowledged that he knew within himself that he was a mighty prophet of God, that he came to baptize for repentance. But he said, "There's a mightier one than I."
Amen.
And there's a mightier baptism coming than the one I am going to give you.
Amen.
Amen. Remember when Paul met the Ephesians? They were Christians, they were believers, they had repented. And he said, "Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "What Holy Ghost? We don't know anything about a Holy Ghost." And he said to them, "Unto what were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." And he said, "Well, let's do it again. And let's baptize you now."
Yes.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. In Christ. So they hadn't even heard of that yet. And what happened when they were baptized again is they spoke in tongues.
Right.
Amen. And they prophesied and they were just manifesting the fullness of the Holy Spirit baptism. All right. So he is. There's one coming mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So in other words, a man, let's say a fit man, okay? You should be baptized by a fit man.
A man of God.
A man of God. A man who's serving God, okay? Doesn't have to be a priest or a pastor or any such thing. Just a fit man of God, all right, should baptize you. You know, by the way, John, I'd love to talk about John. John had every right to be a priest. Did you know that? His father, Zacharias, was a priest.
Yeah.
His father, Zacharias, of the course of Abijah, was probably the senior priest of that order, of that course. And John could very well have probably signed up for a good pension among the priests and been functioning down there in the temple. He could have. But he said, no. I've been called to be a voice crying in the wilderness. Return unto the Lord. So he said, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's coming a baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Amen.
Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Holy Spirit and with fire. Now let me go on and I'll read the next verse because it goes with it. Whose fan is in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's this about the fan?
Yes, he's
going to blow the thing. What is the fan process all about?
Yes. Making the fire hotter.
Make it. You want that thing to go around.
Getting that fire hotter.
Well, let's go on. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Amen.
Now, the fan has to do with both, but in particular, the fan has to do with the thrashing process.
Hmm.
Now, if you all didn't grow up on a farm like I did, you probably don't know what thrash machines are all about. In fact, if you didn't grow up in the 1940s or 50s, you probably don't know what a thrash machine is. Because they have combines now.
Hmm. Right.
Combine means it combines the thing in the field and the stationary thrash machine all in one operation. It's all combined into one. But inside of these combines, which is really a thrash machine, inside it cuts it and thrashes it, and what it does is it shakes.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty shaking. And if you ever watch the inside of this thing, you just say, oh God, I don't ever want to fall into that thing. Because it has teeth, and it goes like that. And it shakes the wheat off of the stem because it's ripe. It's ripe and ready to fall off, and of course the chaff comes off with it. Okay? The chaff that's on the outside of the grain of wheat. And then there's a fan, a powerful fan. And these thrash machines were just horrible sounding things, and they would blow the straw through a big old tube about this big around. And it would blow it right into the barn then. Okay? So this is the action of this fan. And of course the fan then blows the chaff and the straw and the stems of the grain, blows it for straw, but the wheat doesn't get blown away. And what John is saying is the farmer here wasn't saving the straw. He was just going to burn it.
Right.
And he says he's going to burn it with unquenchable fire. Now, what do you suppose that means as far as we're concerned? What do you suppose this baptism into Christ is going to be all about? Now, you like the idea. You like the idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't you?
Yes.
All right. What is that all about? Baptized in the Holy Spirit? Oh, tongues of fire and speaking in tongues and happy and joyful and happy days are here again.
Okay.
But there's actually a third. Now, I'll just make the list. Where's my pencil here? All right. Baptism in water. Holy Spirit and fire. I'm going to make these the same one.
What do you get the Holy Spirit before you get called?
Holy Spirit and fire and Christ. Okay, now you know on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, and there appeared cloven tongues. Now, on the day of Pentecost, I don't read anything about anybody going through a fiery trial.
Not yet.
No, it didn't happen that day. I mean, they were, 4,000 or 5,000 added to the church that day? It was a great day.
Yes, it was.
I mean, people were talking all over the streets. What's happening? What's going on? We're hearing the word in our tongue, you know. And we didn't know anybody could speak our language. But everybody, you know, they're speaking every language and they're prophesying. And wow, what's going on? It was a great day, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But the fire is going to come, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now let me read from Isaiah, the 48th chapter. Isaiah chapter 48. If you'll turn back with me to verse 10. And the Lord is speaking through the prophet. And he says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Now, if you don't know anything about mining gold and silver, you probably won't understand what this is all about. Again, I lived in Alaska when they were mining gold and refining it. There was a smelting place right there in Fairbanks. The gold miners would bring their gold in and it was examined. And even the big companies that had these big floating devices that they would just go down the river and just chew up all the gravel and everything. It all had to go through the refinery. And the refinery was heat. And the heat would come on to the kettle. I'll call it a kettle. It was probably bigger than that, but it held the metal, and the fire would be applied to it, and there would be impurities as the gold and silver comes right out of the ground and out of the rock or wherever they dig it. There would be impurities that would come with it. In other words, it wouldn't be all 100% pure, unless you really were lucky and found a pure nugget. But most of the nuggets had something else with it. And so the pure product would go to the bottom, and they would skim off the top. I'll call it slag. They would take off the thing that wasn't pure. And nowadays, when you buy gold, you can buy gold, and they will say 99.99% pure. Well, they'd like to say 100%, but nobody can guarantee that. Somebody will find some little fleck of something that doesn't belong. Now, what God is saying here is that He intends to refine who?
Us.
And so He says here, Isaiah says, "I chose you in the furnace of affliction." How many of you have enjoyed your affliction?
I had affliction before it started.
How many of you have had affliction?
Oh,
let's
yes.
Put it that way.
Many times.
Is there anybody here that has not had affliction? If you have not, you are in a lot of trouble. Because if the Lord loves you, He's going to have you in affliction.
Yeah.
I remember a time when the Lord pulled the affliction away from me for a little while, because I asked Him, I said, "Give me a break." And I saw the hand that turned the furnace off. It turned the valve, and it was gone. And I really began to worry, and I said, "Lord, you're not going to leave me like this, are you? I'm only half-baked, and I need the furnace to come back on. But I want to promise that you're going to finish the job." Amen? So, He's put us in a furnace of affliction. Whether you like it or not, He loves you enough that He's going to refine you. He's going to bring... Listen, is this a strange doctrine?
No.
Is this being preached?
No.
No, it's not.
Well, what's happened to the Word of God? It's here. Can't we help people understand what's going on in your life?
We can.
I mean, I can't just say prosperity, prosperity, prosperity.
No.
Because you're going to have to go through affliction if you want to be purified.
Right.
And the truth is, a lot of people don't want to be purified. They don't want the problems.
Right.
But God loves you, and He wants you to be overcomers.
Amen.
That's the kingdom message, brethren. Yes. Sons of God. Sons of God means overcomers. Yes. Sons of God means those who have been tried in the furnace of affliction and they have come through, amen, as overcomers. Yes. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me long enough and you'll get the proof. All right. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. One verse 3. Know ye not. Paul is saying you should know this already. Amen. You should know that so many of us, in other words, this means as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His what?
His death.
Is that a popular message? I don't hear the television preachers preaching that. I don't hear the television, period. But when I do get near one and it's on, I don't hear that.
No.
Baptized unto His death. Let's go back to the definition of baptism again. Baptism is immersion. So if you're going to be immersed in death, what are you going to be immersed in? Death. That means that death is all around you. But it isn't just death, it's the death of Christ.
Right.
All right. My death would accomplish nothing.
Right.
Except getting rid of me, which some people probably would like. But the death of Christ is going to bring life. Rita already quoted that verse in her prayer today,
mm-hmm.
where she said, what He said to Martha, I am the resurrection.
Yes.
Not I will make a resurrection,
yes.
but He said, Martha, don't you understand? It is me. I am the resurrection. I like it when He says, I am.
Yes, amen.
Don't you?
Yes.
I am.
Amen.
When they came to arrest Him, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And the whole army fell over. And then Peter thought he could defend that whole army with his little sword. He just didn't understand. I am has the power.
Yes.
I am the resurrection. Moses said, who shall I say to Pharaoh? Who is this God that is demanding that His people be set free?
Mm-hmm.
His name is I am.
Amen.
You know what? God is asking for you to be set free today.
Amen. Yes.
Free from your worries. Free from your pain, your anxieties.
Amen.
Amen. Free from the nitpicking of the devil.
Amen.
Destroying destroying your finances. He wants us. I am.
Hallelujah.
Has the power to rebuke that devouring spirit of hell.
Amen.
That has come against us. You know, I tell you, I am so aware of when I was in Africa. I was afraid to go. I said, Brother Mark, you were afraid to go? No, let's put it this way. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go to Nigeria. Because I knew Nigeria is a tough place. I've been there twice before. 24 years ago, I went there. And I was terrified out of my mind. But I said, no, I'm going to overcome. I'm going through.
Amen.
God sent me here. He will preserve me. I thought I had landed in an armed prison camp. Everybody, all these guys with berets, with machine guns in their hand, questioning you, wanting to stop your car, wanting to open your trunk, open your suitcase. On the road, open your suitcase. Yeah, they weren't official, but they had guns.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, when brother, the local brother was arguing with him, the guy went. He put a bullet in the chamber. And the brother says, what are you going to do? Shoot the missionaries right here on the road? You can't do that. I mean, I was terrified. I didn't show it, but I was. I didn't want to go back. And then I was there 12 years ago. And it wasn't quite as bad, but there were still a lot of machine guns and a lot of berets on the heads of these men running around. This time, a new airport.
Amen.
They had rules.
Amen.
Of what the porters could and couldn't do.
Amen.
I mean, they harass you to death. But that isn't why I said that. I said I didn't want to go. And I wanted to go to Sierra Leone. I wanted to go to Liberia. And I looked into flying directly to West Africa. I'll just go there. I don't want to go down there where Nigeria is. I just don't want to go there. And I found out that Brother Tojoki was writing the tickets that would bring you into there from Nigeria. So I said, okay, I'll land in Nigeria only, and then I'll get on the plane with you guys and we'll just fly. He said, oh, well, come to the youth camp. I said, okay, youth camp. Oh, it's only a week.
Well,
it turns out it was a great youth camp. I mean, the young people just praising the Lord and getting free and getting delivered. So I got roped into it. In other words, if you want to go to Liberia and Sierra Leone, you got to come through Nigeria. But while I was there, see, I said, oh God, I'll go if you preserve me. Keep me. Keep my health, oh God. I mean, I'd been to Philippines and I got sick. And I wasn't doing well in the Philippines. I said, oh God, will you keep me in Nigeria? And you know what? He kept me perfectly.
Amen.
He kept me perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, I kind of carry a pharmacy with me when I go. I didn't need it. I was offering it to other people. And every morning I would wake up and I would say, oh God, I thank you this day that you have kept me. I was concerned, I'm going to run out of strength. I know these people in Nigeria, they'll wear you out. They have got more energy and more strength than any people I have ever known. They are tough people. And they are extremely intelligent people from Nigeria. I mean, they really are. And I thought, oh, they're going to run circles around me. They're going to keep me up till 3 in the morning, you know, praying for people. I won't be able to take it. But you know, the Lord preserved me. And I think it was a spirit.
Yeah.
It was the spirit. I saw other people on our team getting sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it was the spirit.
Yes, coming down with fevers and what have you.
Yeah.
And I knew I could see the devil wanting to do this, wanting to do that, wanting to do something else. And I said, oh God, I thank you that I can be under your blood. You know what? You know what the Lord showed me? Is that you can be in that place. You can be in the secret place of the Most High. And you know what? I have no guarantee that I'm going to be there forever. I have no guarantee from one day to the next. I have no guarantee from one hour to the next. Except, I said to one of the brethren, I said, brother, we need to walk absolutely circumspectly while we're here. Because the devil is waiting for any little opportunity, open door, and he'll rush right in and afflict you.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard Sister Rita, the spirit that came upon her this morning, I said, yes, that's where it's at. And that's where we're going to be at. We're going to be baptized in Christ.
Amen.
Now that's the point I'm trying to make. This is what it means to be baptized in Christ. It's not a ceremony. It's not a ritual. It's not something that any man can do to you. It doesn't come with the laying on of hands. It doesn't come with saying words over you.
Amen.
It comes in something that goes on between you and Christ.
Every day.
And it's renewed every day.
Amen.
You don't get permanent immunity. You don't get a vaccination for it. Amen. Come on. I'm telling you that in the last days, this is the only place where you can be saved.
It's true.
If you want to walk in sin and hell and the road to hell, you can have it, but you will not be saved.
That's right.
There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth the other road.
Amen.
It's going to be something that's going to happen in your heart. But you can be there. And I think I tasted of it again. You see, I had a little taste of it when I was in the hospital with my heart attack 10 years ago, 11 years ago. I had a taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
Such a taste that I wanted to go through the door. I just wanted to leave this earth for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a taste of it. And every now and then, we get another taste of it.
Amen.
God, oh, I tell you. I want to show you where it's at. It says, as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death.
That's right.
Let me go on. Galatians chapter 3.
Galatians.
Galatians chapter 3. You know, these words are scattered throughout all these epistles of Paul. Every one of them says something about this. This had to be so much on Paul's mind that he would write it in every one of his letters. He would write something about it. It was something that burned in this man. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ.
Amen.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Hallelujah.
There's no special privilege of being natural Jew anymore.
No, not at all.
If you, listen, this makes it clear. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. He doesn't say seeds. He says seed. Singular.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
There is not a multitude of seeds. There is one seed.
Yes.
And that is Christ.
Amen.
And you are either in Christ or you're not in Christ.
Right.
Now let me just make a little drawing here. And I want to show you what the difference is. Did I do this before? If I did, forgive me. I forget where I've done what and what I haven't. Here's the tabernacle. No, this part I know I've done before. That you don't have to stop me. Now, here's the band. This is the outer court. When we come into salvation, when we first say, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I've been a wretched man.
Amen.
You come to the brazen altar,
right,
where the blood is shed.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you accept the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And then you can come here to the brazen laver where the water for baptism.
Yeah.
And you can be baptized in water. And you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit in the outer court too.
Yes.
And by the way, you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit in the outer court and stay in the outer court.
Mm-hmm.
and not go any further. And you can even join a Pentecostal church in the outer court and stay in the outer court. You can. So you can have your first two baptisms right out here and go no further. Do you know that I actually backslid for a little while after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit? I wouldn't have told you that 40 years ago, but I'll admit it now. Because it happened.
Right.
It didn't last long because the Lord got a hold of me again and pulled me right back. Yeah. And I tell you, I repented that time and I've never turned away from the Lord since. And that was many years ago. But I'm telling you, you can be saved, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and still get no further than the outer court. So here's the man. I'm going to try to draw a man here. Okay. He doesn't have fingers, I'm sorry. Oh, let's make it a woman. It's easier. It's a man. He's just wearing a big skirt. And he has... Well, there's neither male nor female.
That's
right.
But yeah, it's a Jesus-era man.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And he has... Would you be offended if I made it in the shape of a heart? Did I do this?
You did this not too long.
All right, I'm going to do it again.
Yes.
There's somebody here that didn't hear me the last
Weeks
time.
Ago.
All right, so here he has Christ in me. See this?
Yep.
This is Christ in me.
Yes.
The hope of glory. Now, we got to make another man. And I'm going to make him a little smaller because he wouldn't fit otherwise. In fact, I may make him just like a stick man here. There. So here's a man now that's in Christ. Did I say he's in Christ?
Yes.
This is Christ in me. This is the man in Christ. What's the difference?
Big difference.
Amen.
Yeah. This fellow here... Boy, he's pretty big, isn't he? There's a lot of flesh here. He's saved. He's
yep.
baptized.
Yep.
You know, and he sings the songs, Jesus in my heart, I'm so glad, you know. And it's all true.
Mm-hmm.
But he can go anywhere he wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Christ in me ends up having to go where he goes.
Right.
Has to go with him.
Maybe bad.
And he might be going places that
shouldn't
he shouldn't be going.
That's right.
He might be involved in things he shouldn't be involved in.
Right. Amen.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Yep.
Anybody know what we're talking about?
The world.
Yeah, he's involved in the activities of the flesh, the world, the pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. Yeah, he's involved in that. And if he keeps doing that, you know what's going to happen? He's going to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to grieve
the
Christ in me.
Yep.
And it's getting marred.
It's gone.
And he keeps it up.
Yep.
And it's gone.
Yep.
Now, this fellow here...
Where he should be.
Where does he go? He goes where Christ goes.
Right.
He says what Christ says. He does what Christ does. He's lost his freedom, hasn't he? Yeah. Yeah, he's lost his freedom.
World freedom.
And he has... He has Christ now.
Yes.
As his boss.
Amen. Yes.
Okay.
Better place to be. Mm-hmm.
But he's dead
to himself.
To self.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This self isn't dead to self yet.
No.
this fellow isn't baptized unto death. He's baptized for the washing of the of his sins, but he doesn't understand yet that he's baptized unto death. Let me just take you a couple more verses, and we can finish this up then. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You sound like you know where we're going to go with this. Amen. If ye then, the first verse, Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ,
amen,
seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, up until now, we've talked about death. But it says now, if you are risen. So how do you get resurrection? What do you get resurrected from?
From the dead.
Death.
Yeah.
So in other words, you can't have a resurrection until you've had a death.
Right. You're resurrected into life.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you have to have death before you can have resurrection.
Right.
So if you're baptized unto his death,
right,
then Paul says, if you are now risen with Christ.
Right.
So you see, there comes life after death, isn't
right
there?
Yes.
But not my life.
Christ.
But now the life of Christ.
Amen.
Let's go on. This is great. This is great. If ye are risen with Christ, then what are you going to do about it? So the evidence of someone risen with Christ is that he will seek. No, wait. Seek. Yes. Can I use that word?
Yes.
Seek. Here we go. Seek. How many of you are seekers?
Amen.
Seek. Amen. The things that are above.
Amen.
You're looking at higher things.
Yes.
You're not seeking the lower thing. What are the lower things? Give me some example of lower things.
The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches.
All right, there's a couple of good ones. Give me some other ideas.
Well, some people
prosperity and sports. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Music.
Anything that's of the world.
Amen. Things to drink and drugs and drinks and what have you that give you a buzz in your head or somewhere. Yeah, those are things. Those are lower things. You don't seek after those
right
things.
Mm-hmm.
Prosperity. Yeah. Prosperity isn't the thing above, is it?
No, it isn't.
It all concerns the lower level of life here. You see, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things that you need will be added unto you. So in other words, you don't have to seek prosperity.
No.
Your prosperity will be added if you seek first the kingdom. You don't have to seek after your healing. It will be added unto you if you seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Okay? So, then the second verse is set. Seek, set. So you seek and you set what?
Your affections.
You set your affections. On what?
Things above.
On things above. There we go. So you, the thing that you seek, you set on it.
Yes.
Okay? Set. On things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. So is that not a picture of what I made here? This is a picture of the holy place people. Now, not everybody that reads the book of Colossians is living in that life. A lot of Christians read this and don't know what it means. Let me tell you, for many years I read this, I didn't have a clue as to what it meant. But the day, this is resurrection, yeah. That day, on the way to the hospital, with my wife driving the car, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm in trouble. And I know that when a man is in trouble, if he calls upon your name,
Amen.
You will answer. I said, I need you to tell me what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice of the Holy Spirit spoke so loud.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, for you are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't have my Bible open. If I had a Bible, I probably wouldn't be able to read that day. But I found out that he was quoting word for word from this in the King James Bible.
Amen.
I have the date, 10/23/02.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'll be about a month from now. 10/23/02. I wrote the date right here. For you are dead. And you know what? For 11 years, I've been asking God, tell me more about what this means that I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
How am I dead? You see, laying there on that stretcher in the emergency room and hearing the doctors and nurses calling to one another, I finally came to the conclusion, I think I'm still in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear them. I must not be dead in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you mean, Lord? And finally I began to say, but Lord, isn't there more to that verse than just for you are dead? Isn't there more to that? And finally the Lord began to reveal more. You know, do you understand? I'm dead, and in reality, in the natural, I was only a millimeter from being dead.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So they thought I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that he's gone. His blood pressure's gone. He's gone. They're yelling at me. And I'd open my eyes and look and think, why are you yelling like that? So, but in all that time, my soul was not dead. My body was dying, but my soul was still communing with God and asking him, what do you mean by that verse? What's the meaning of this? Why do I hear people hollering and yelling around me? What is the meaning of all this valley of shadow of death that I'm in here? And I'm asking him questions. My soul never died.
No, it never will.
And it won't die.
Never.
Do you hear me? It won't die.
Right. Amen.
In that sense, it won't go out of existence. Let's put it that way. Yes.
Sure.
Die, death of destruction of hell, yes. But it will not go out of existence.
It belongs to God.
Amen? I said, isn't there more to that verse?
Yes.
And he said, yes. And your life. See, for you are dead, and your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Dead. Let me write it so you can see it. You are dead.
Life.
And your life. That's spiritual talk, isn't it?
Amen.
In the natural, if you're dead, you're dead.
Right.
You can't say you are dead, so your life. You go, you stand over a casket, the guy's dead. You say to the guy, you're dead, but your life? No, there's no life. You're just looking at dead.
You're alive.
But this is spiritual.
Right. You're alive.
You are dead, but your life. See, in order to be dead in Christ is that you have a different life now.
Yes.
Okay? Your life is hid with Christ in God. Here's the guy whose life is hid in God.
You could be dead, but your spirit is alive, and your spirit is awake to everything that's going on around you.
Then we go to verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life,
mm-hmm.
shall appear,
mm-hmm.
then shall ye also appear with him in what?
Glory.
Glory. Now, that's hope. That's hope.
Yeah, very good.
That is better hope than being raptured or anything else that you could ever hope for. To appear with him in glory,
mm-hmm.
is the reality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To appear with him in glory. I could say something about Luke 12, and I'll just read it quickly. Yes, you got it, sister. Did I give that verse earlier?
No, you didn't give it yet. You gave...
No, I don't mean today, but I mean in the last week or two.
Oh, well.
I don't know. You know, I've been preaching in Africa, and I don't know what I said where. It says here, for I am, he said, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straited? Straited means what? Constrained or distressed? Till it be accomplished. In other words, I'm anxious to have it accomplished. I have a baptism to give. Are you ready for my baptism? He's saying. How many of you are ready for my baptism?
Even on the cross, he says, are you willing
to... the woman asked him, can we sit on your right?
John chapter... John chapter 20.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The disciples... I think it was 20. Yeah, John chapter 20. And he said, are you able to drink of my cup and be baptized with a baptism that I am baptized with?
She was excited. She said yes, but he said, you don't know what you're...
Well, her son said yes. Her son said yes. And he said, you don't know what you're talking about. But let me add, you will be baptized with my baptism, and you will drink of my cup. You want to be my disciples? You will.
Yes, that's true. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be better for you to know that this is going to happen to you?
You know it's going to.
Sure.
And then have it just spring on you and not understand what's happening. Oh, God, what's happening to me? But now you could say, oh, he loves me so much that he's refining me in the fire of affliction. He's making me pure gold. You know what? Gold really is the nature of God. So he's giving us his divine nature.
Amen.
That we would be like him.
Refine this fire.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Suppose you that I am come to bring give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. In other words, I'm coming with a sword. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut right down through. I'm going to cut right down through the house. I'm going to cut down through the family. I'm going to cut down right down through the tribe. You're going to be either on one side of the sword or the other side. Mm-hmm. But I'm coming to cut.
I want to be on Christ's side.
And I want to be on his side too. Amen. Well, I think that makes the point. Brother Seth used to preach about baptism into Christ. And he said there's three baptisms. I said, okay, I agree with that. And he said, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and baptism in Christ. I said, well, yeah, water, Holy Spirit, and fire. No. He says, these three. And I couldn't understand it. But I do now. Actually, the baptism of fire is included right here in Christ.
Yes, sure.
You don't get fire just right away when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Christ and fire. And that's what he meant in that verse that we just read. I have a baptism to be giving, and how I am straited until it's time to give it. I want to give it now.
Yes.
Brethren, I don't know how long we have. It doesn't matter what the calendar says.
Amen.
But we're going to be ready because we can walk in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
And we will.